Tonight, the title of my message is The Condition of Things, and I want to talk out of Isaiah chapter 5. So while I'm meandering about for a little bit, you could turn there, Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah 5. And we're going to spend a little time in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it occurs to me, as it has you, that we are in a world that's, I said earlier, falling apart. It seems to be falling apart at the seams. There's really nobody has an answer. Anytime it seems like they have an answer, they don't have an answer. The stitching is not working. And it's in this time that the church is being called upon to really take our stand and declare the word of the Lord. What we've heard in secret all these years, what we've talked about in our little buildings and our little homes, we're to shout from the housetops. We're to announce to our generation that indeed Christ is King. We're to shout to this generation that God's in control. We're to shout to this generation that he's coming back for his bride. We're to tell this generation it's time to get your heart right. We live in a nation that's literally falling apart at the seams. Forgive me if I don't have a message that makes you feel good tonight. Everything is fine. It's not fine. And it's time to call us to the ready line. See, if this, what's been happening in the last 12 weeks or so has not affected you, it will affect you. So I believe God's going to awaken you in the middle of the night. You're going to be praying. You're going to find yourself asking God what to do. You're going to be burdening yourself with your family again, your friends, because something is coming, and it's coming at a quick speed. Honestly, I don't know how anybody could be satisfied with what the church is doing right now. The church has been silent for so long, it's time for us to speak in unison what's going on. We must have kingdom eyes. We are about to enter the most glorious time in the church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines cheering. I want to be involved. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to get involved in speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth. The way forward has a door, and it involves course direction. We've got to direct ourselves to where God is leading us. Back in the day when I was a little kid in school, we had a fifth grade teacher that used to say, "Eyes front!" And he'd wait till everybody was, like fifth graders are, talking to everybody, and he'd go, "Eyes front!" As soon as he said that, you knew you'd be turned in your desk and looked straight ahead. Because if you didn't, you got called out outside in the hallway for the paddle. So he said, "Eyes front." Everybody was real obedient. It was like when we were raising our kids. We'd grab the spanking spoon, and all of a sudden, they were the best kids in the world. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, "Eyes front." I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, "It's time to wake up." Come on, somebody. It's atrophied into a place of complete chaos. Most people have not a clue. Broke my heart to see what's happening in Philadelphia. Terry and I lived there for 10 years, and some of the places we know and love, Museum of Art, some of the downtown places are being graffitied and all sorts of things. The cops are not able to. The governor of Pennsylvania has asked for help from other states to come in and help. Other states, not just the state of Pennsylvania, but other states, please come help us. How many know they're outnumbered? But we know that God is in control. We know that God is in control. While you have your finger in Isaiah, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And verse 19 says, "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen." The beauty of Israel is a type of the church. And the church has fallen on hard times. We are not taken seriously, at least the most part we're not taken seriously. We know we're heard in heaven. We know we're heard in hell. But how many know we need to be effective on this earth? It doesn't matter. Heaven is going to hear us. And hell definitely hears us when we take authority. But the people on this earth are the ones that are hanging in the balance. The prophet says, multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. There are many people that are making a decision that's going to affect their eternity. And we are the ones, we are the yeomen, we are the ones that's shouting, eyes front. We are the ones that's saying, look at heaven. And here, Samuel says, the beauty of Israel is slain. And it says, how the mighty have fallen. And then in verse 25, how the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. And it's interesting that he says, fallen in the midst of the battle. Now is not the time to fall to the enemy. The battle is raging out there. The war in the heavenlies is obvious, and you and I can't be sideliners. We've got to be involved in the ministry of prayer. We've got to be involved in the ministry of intercession. God is looking right now to and fro, seeing who has faith to be risen up at this hour. In verse 27, he repeats it. He says, how the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished. Look, the scripture gives us everything that we need. God gives us everything we need. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we are to take up the full armor of God. But we have a choice every day to take it up or to leave it lay. And if we leave it lay, the weapons of war are perishing and the enemy is having his way. We've fallen with no weapons available. And what we need to do is repent and reset like God wants us to. Come on, somebody. This is not a yo, amen message, but it's a message that we need to hear, I believe. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. You can turn there or not. Lamentations 2:14 says, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They've not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. The one thing that has happened in the body of Christ is that we've listened to a bunch of yahoos that have given themselves titles called prophets and have not prophesied. What they've prophesied is delusions and discrepancies against the word. And we're either too lazy or too taken by them to check and see what they're saying. Now is not the time to talk about personal comfort and prosperity. I'm sorry. It's just not. The world needs us right now. You're not listening to me. Come on, somebody. We need to be available to God to die to our wants and our desires and our needs and take the place on the battlefield. Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says, you have seen, and he was talking to Isaiah, or Israel, but he's talking to us at the same time. They have seen for you false and deceptive visions. We've relied on seers that we feel good about, but have not bothered to double check where they are in the Word of God. What comes in the eye gate and the ear gate is very important. And he says deceptive visions and false prophecies and delusions. I said this before, but in Matthew 24, when the disciples came to Christ and they said, what will be the sign of your return? And he started out like this. He said, do not be deceived. Let no one deceive you. For many will come in my name and say, there is Christ and here is Christ. Do not follow them. Do not listen to them. Come on, somebody. And the body of Christ is being rocked to sleep because we think everything is going to be okay if we get the right guy in the White House. 4 more years of prosperity and blessing, whew, and then God will come up with something and save us again for 4 more years. Come on. God is not working in 4-year increments. God is working in eternity. There's an end time. There's an end plan. There's an end goal. And I believe we're much closer than we've ever been to that end goal, that end time, that end plan. As if heaven needs a nondescript person from somewhere to speak to the entire body on the earth. No, it doesn't. He doesn't need a prophet to speak to the whole earth. He already has that. He's called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is well able to get to His children and speak to us what we need to hear. It's great to hear confirmation. It's great to hear somebody say, thus saith the Lord. But number one, they better know when they're saying, thus saith the Lord. Number two, it better line up with Scripture. And when it doesn't, come on, we sign up for a conference and go listen to them for 3 days. They weren't right to begin with, and we want more wrong to be given to us. Prophetic is always confirming. in the instances it is surprising is because we did not need to know until we need to know. When we need to know, God will let it get the message to us. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people tonight? Apostle John got his prophetic vision on the Isle of Patmos by himself. He didn't have a bunch of Christians around saying, you know, I saw this angel. And I said, no, God gave him the vision. God is well able to give us what we need to supply us with the tools to be victorious in this end times. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have relationship with the Lord. It's wonderful to have each other. Don't get me wrong. I love to hear prophetic words, but prophetic words must line up with Scripture and it must be balanced. Prophecies out of the character of God are absolutely not true and are not supported by Scripture. It's just absolutely not true. Some people prophesy, where did you go to? Are you serving the same God as I am? God is going to look past all of that and give you blessings when you're not even serving Him correctly? Come on, someone. Since when did the kingdom of God have no rules and regulations? Never. Some books are written to sell, period. Not to be true, just to sell. You know, they get catchy titles and catchy things and they pay enough money and it's, oh, I got to read that book. And you read the book and it takes you further away from the purposes of God. So Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah is a small Bible. The first 30-some books are judgment, and then the last 27, like the New Testament, are blessing. They're blessing to us and what's going to happen with Israel. The same is happening today. God is doing some course corrections. These woes that I'm talking about tonight are not condemnatory. They are directional. It's a warning. Don't get caught up in this stuff. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8. It says, woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. Verse 9 says, in my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly, many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones, without inhabitant. So the first woe is how we build. The first woe is how we build. Now, what I mean by that is it's wonderful to have a consensus. It's wonderful to everybody be one. I believe we should be one. But what God is speaking to me now for this area has nothing to do with somebody that's from Bogota, Colombia. Has nothing to do with somebody that's in Madrid, Spain. It has nothing to do with somebody that's in New York City, New York. Come on, somebody. We've made a mistake by the general words that's coming from the throne that we think are general words. Now, there are general things. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be godly. But there are things that God is talking to us about praying and doing here in this community that's germane to this community. Woe to those who build house to house. I just want to do, you know, anarchy is reigning right now in this nation. Because one man killed another man, all white people are bad and all black people are bad. Come on, somebody. Depends on where you're at. All black people are good, all white people are bad. If you're on one side, all white people are bad, good and black people are bad. Come on, somebody. Yeah. How many know one man killed another man? He was very bad. And he needs to be taken care of. But that has nothing to do with people standing in front of the courthouse yelling about Black Lives Matter. It doesn't. But these are things that are warned against. Fear is gripping our nation. If you look at Black Lives Matter, and I welcome you to, I'm not talking anything that's black or white. I'm just saying Black Lives Matter as a group, their number one thing is to defund the police. They want to defund the police. They want to take all money away from supporting the police. They said, we're able to take care of our own neighborhoods. Can you imagine? Can you imagine any community without a police force? I was in Africa in 2002 and we went past this village and they were saying that somebody, I forget the crime that they had done, And the village was way out in the middle of nowhere. And they called the police. And by the time the police got out there, they couldn't find the guy. And they had burned him at the stake. They just burned him. You know, there's no cops there. Cops took a long time to get out there. And so they took care of village justice. Come on, someone. How ridiculous. But building house to house, having everybody thinking the same, the words that are being thrown around now is our systematic racism. We've had a problem since time immemorial against blacks and white supremacy. Come on, none of that's true. Is there racism? Sure there is. There always has been racism. People not educated enough or not whole enough to just let people be people. There'll always be that. Communities saying they can police themselves, the rebellion is exposed. We're watching as small shops and small businesses are being burned to the ground. Come on, someone. God warns us. Woe to those who build house to house. The only answer is repentance. And those that don't know how to repent, we need to supersede that and intercede for the lost. We need to stand in the gap and intercede. Are you there with me? The second is how we live. The second woe is how we live. We need to be attuned to our fellow man. We need to know what the understanding is. And in Scripture here, Isaiah 5:11 says this, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, all till the wine inflames them." Verse 13 says, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst." Now when you see that, the honorable men famished, that's a lack of the word of God, and the multitude dried up with thirst, that's the lack of the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about actual drink. We know that's wrong. But we're intoxicated with the things of the world. The church needs to leave the things of the world. We are not to walk or talk or act like the world. When we submit to the things of the flesh, we find oppression and eventually possession, and we become of no use to the kingdom of God. We become of no use. We've been intoxicated with the things of the world. We're drunk on power, drunk on pleasure, drunk on hate and violence, and drunk on lust. Church of God, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. Make me comfortable. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Make all my travels be good. Keep my pockets full of money. No, we are supposed to be the ones that are standing for the lost. Standing, reaching the kingdom and reaching the lost at the same time. We live among a people that are confused. It's not their fault. They're filled with sin. Come on, somebody. How many of them are in need of a Savior? Jesus looked at the people and he wept. Sheep without a shepherd. He didn't condemn them. Never did you see Jesus condemning sinners. He loved them. And I've said it, it's a worn out phrase, but we're known for more for what we hate than what we love. We hate homosexuality. We hate abortion. We hate people that live different than us. We hate them. No, we love them. We used to be them. We used to be them. How do we then live? We live as godly men and women, children of the living God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. "For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." There's the comparison. If we don't shine the light, they're not going to find the light. And it's sad to see even those that call themselves Christian eating the bread of wickedness and drinking the wine of violence. In the name of God, they're doing terrible things. It's time for the church to wake up. How we live is very important. All eyes, I've said it before, I'll say it again, all eyes are on us right now. All eyes are on us right now because we have the answer. Come on, we have the answer. But sadly, we see the church being taken captive. In verse 13, it says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. This church in the 21st century, a lot of the young people that are coming to church have no idea what we're talking about. We talk about godliness and holiness and separation from sin. They say they're Christian because somebody said a prayer with them. They have no knowledge of what sin is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, who Jesus Christ is. All they know is they're going to church and they get to drink coffee in the lobby and get to hear awesome worship music. Come on, somebody. And as soon as somebody comes and tells them a lie, they believe it. They've gone into captivity. It's a descent perpetrated by false doctrine and pleasure-seeking drones. People that just go around saying, oh, feel good. Just put your money in the offering plate and feel good about who you are. No, we ought to be mourning and weeping right now. We live in a nation that's forgotten or never knew God. There needs to be good, solid biblical teaching. And that's incumbent upon all of us. We need to tell the people that we're witnessing to the scriptures, the true scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this. Listen to what he says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Now, it's talking to me. What manner, Rick, are you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What's that mean? We're not supposed to be hooked on anything the world's got. Hello. But too often we embrace this life. We want to embrace and hold on to something that's falling apart. Now I'm amazed. I say that to people. I said that to somebody today. I was talking to him. We were talking about this whole thing. And I said, no matter how hard you pray, things are going to fall apart. You could pray till the cows come home. Things are going to fall apart. It's just going to happen. Our prayer selfishly is, it's not going to happen while I'm alive. It's not going to happen until my grandkids are dead. It's happening. This could very well be the last days. And all our prayers in the world is not going to stop that. What we need to pray is that as many people that we can get into the ark, into the kingdom, while destruction is going to happen. Come on, somebody. It's a woe. How we live, who we are, is so very important to the kingdom of God. He has no other representatives on the earth. He's not going to make angels come and stand guard visibly where everybody can see. Angels are ministering to us. They help us, but we're it. We're the people that are going to extend the kingdom of God. Are you there? I would love it if he'd do it with angels. So we could just sit there and applaud. Hey, there's 12-foot angels getting everybody saved. Hey, there's an angel touch somebody and they were healed. This little old 5'9½" guy he's counting on. Come on, somebody. Thirdly, is how we look at sin. How we look at sin. If we don't look at sin, if we don't absolutely hate sin, we're taken captive. We're taken captive. We're not any good to the kingdom of God. We've bought the false doctrine and pleasure-seeking gospel that's been preached. Wake up. Destruction is coming. You can whistle through it if you want, but destruction is still coming. Isaiah 5:14, therefore Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the church. Those who know better. Sheol has enlarged itself and opens its mouth. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Just whistling away our lives, thinking everything's going to be okay. Everything's not going to be okay. The kingdom of God, yes, God's got design on bringing us into glory, and we'll live forever and ever with him, and I get all that. But it's time to get serious about the state of the life that we're living in. You know, 2 or 3 months ago, we thought it was just the United States, and all of a sudden, we see the whole world on its knees right now. Anybody else shocked? I am. I'm shocked that it happened that quickly. I thought it was going to take a while. Verse 18 says, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as with a cart rope. Our fourth woe is how we interpret Scripture, how we see Scripture. Brandon and I were visiting today and we're talking about the different versions of the Bible. You know, the NIV, just instead of arguing with anything, they just take it out. Found out that the English Standard Version does the same thing. They just take Scriptures out. They don't even explain why. Just take it out. The way we took, because it doesn't fit their paradigm. I mean, you know, no Scripture is given that's not inspired. The whole Bible is inspired by God. We can't argue and take what we want and leave what we want. The church has very successfully convinced multitudes and multitudes and multitudes that you don't have to repent. Never have to repent. You just get saved. One time you repent, and then any sins you do are covered, so you can just sin and live like you want, and you're getting to heaven. It's called hyper grace. Full of it. The United States is full of the hyper grace message. It's how we interpret Scripture. How we see Scripture is a woe. Listen, verse 18, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope. I'll take sin with me. I'll see what the Scripture says. I'll try to fit it in. If it doesn't fit into my lifestyle, I'll change it or I'll drop it. Conviction is ignored. The Holy Spirit convicts and we ignore it and we justify sin. Isaiah 5, verse 22, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We change the word of God for convenience. Come on, someone. And we're good at it. A young man named Matthew, I forget his last name, he's gay and very educated, and will prove to you, if you listen to his 30-minute message, that homosexuality is okay. And if you didn't have the Spirit of God at the end of the 30-minute message, you'd say he's right. He's proven it by Scripture. Come on, somebody. We fit it into our lifestyle. And we say how terrible that is. But let me ask you, what Scripture have you fit into your lifestyle? What Scripture have you said, that's not for me, I can live this way because God gave me a special... No, Scripture is to be obeyed. How we interpret Scripture is a woe. It's a warning. It's not a judgment. It's not we're going to hell. It's a warning. We will not, if God sends us leanness of soul, we'll not be the authority that God wants us to be in this hour. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now, before we preach to the world, are we living godly? We're living separate. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. He's talking to Israel and he's talking to the church. The fifth woe is how we have pride. The Bible says pride comes before a fall and haughtiness before destruction. We live in a prideful nation. We think we could just banter about Scripture. I actually saw someone with all this brouhaha going on of protest and rioting. I saw two posts by Christians, strong Christians. One said it's okay to be, and I understand it's our First Amendment right to protest. Don't get me wrong, I think there's a time and a place to protest. But this person said that Pentecost was protest. That the message of Pentecost was protest. That Peter's message was to protest the totalitarian government of Rome. No, he was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost. Talking about Joel, talking about crucifying Christ and him raising from the dead and all-powerful God. Had nothing to do but twist Scripture enough and you start to say that God, you know, you get God on your side. Jesus said it's okay to protest, stand in traffic and hold signs. Come on, somebody. Where should we be protesting? At the throne of God, praying and protesting hell. That's where we should be protesting. If you spent your time on your knees, as long as you stand holding a sign, I'm going to stand with you. But I'm not convinced that you've been on your knees with the hate and the vehement things that I see on the signs and hear out of your mouth. Pride. Especially in America. We go all together. We've got to see things from different perspectives, and we don't want to. My heart goes out to our African-American brothers and sisters. I believe they've been handed a bill of goods, man, not fair. I believe that in a lot of ways it's not fair. But that doesn't give me the right. And then somebody else said about rioting. We were talking back and forth about the riots and how destroying shops and buildings and businesses is not right. How many believe it's not right? How many believe it's okay? Whew, well, I'm glad nobody said okay. But this person said it was okay, and they said Jesus cleansed the temple. So he destroyed small business. What are you talking about? He's talking about the house of God. He's talking about my Father's house is a house of prayer, and you made it the den of thieves. He wasn't destroying small business. Pride. I've got the corner on what God meant, and I'm going to preach it, I'm going to live it, I'm going to make it. My sin seem okay. Hating and destroying is wrong every time. Do you know how tax collectors were hated in Jerusalem? They were absolutely hated. They were like Samaritans. They were like anathema. You didn't go talk to a tax collector because they worked for the enemy. They worked for Rome. And what did Jesus do to Matthew? He said, come follow me. Ate supper at his house. At a tax collector's house. Do you understand? That's like going to a that's like going to a Black Lives Matter president and saying, hey man, can I hang out at your place? Call somebody. But because of pride, we think we got the corner. No, we're supposed to love people. Be humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Bible says, woe. Woe to those. Oh God, we need God. We need God in this hour. Then in verse 20, 21. Verse 21 and I don't have the rest there, so let me look at it. Verse 21 and 22. Can you find me a tissue? 21 and 22. Woe to those who are wise and oh, right here. Thanks. I didn't even see him. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Right back to where we were talking about. Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. The sixth woe is how we think. Oh, it's okay. That's just what they think. Oh, it's okay. I can ignore that and God will still bless me. Oh, it's okay. I can live like I want. How we think. We know God's not fooled by our thoughts. We become good at it. Kind of ignore the things we want to ignore and pay attention to the things we want to pay attention to. Come on, somebody. I'm totally amazed at people that have been walking. I've said this many times. I'm totally amazed at people that have walked with the Lord for a long time and say, I have no idea what God's saying. Man, let me pray with you because you need to hear God. It's absolutely imperative that you need to hear God. How many know we all need to hear God? From the youngest to the oldest of us. We never get to a place where we can just go, okay, God, I heard that. You don't need to tell me again. I need to be told all the time. I don't know about you. I want to know what God's saying. How we think about, this is a woe. It says, make the adjustment, being able to hear what God says. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James, the third chapter. I'll wait, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Notice, I love what it puts together. The meekness of wisdom. You ever been around somebody that knows it all? You know, it doesn't matter what you say. They've been there. They've done that. Come on. Are you there? I have to admit, one time I was with somebody. I was just pastoring a church. First church I pastored. And there was a guy in our men's fellowship that knew everything. So I decided to fool with him. I said, have you ever had a gorazki? Have you ever eaten a gorazki? He says, yeah, I had one of those. I said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. What did it taste like? Blah, blah, blah. What I was saying was a garage key. Garage key. You'll get that later. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Being wise in God doesn't make us prideful. It makes us humble. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from above, does not descend from above. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, or pride, confusion and every evil thing are there. It's a woe that we need to pay attention to. How do we think in these days? Sometimes you just want to say you're dumber than a box of rocks. You don't have the brains that God gave geese. But we need to understand that they're covered with sin. And lest we fall into the same trap. Watch what it says. Woe to those who are wise in where? In their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I got it all together. I'm sorry nobody else does. I got this thing figured out. You can't tell me anything new. I've been around this table before. Pass the potatoes. Come on, somebody. We can be taken captive by those kind of things. I got in a conversation with this person that said that Jesus cleansed the temple and it was okay to destroy personal property. And I talked so long that I figured there's nothing more I can say. I mean, you're going to think the way you think and that's okay. I'll pray for you. I didn't tell them that, but come on, someone. But we need to intercede and pray that their eyes be open. Because somebody with that kind of, that can't see, I mean, it's so stubborn, they'd work good for the kingdom. They just need to repent and get in the kingdom. Well, somebody. Peter was invaluable to the kingdom once he's filled with the Holy Ghost. That guy, you know, dove into water naked and cut ears off and did all kinds of things. He was not afraid of anything except confessing Christ. But he was invaluable to the kingdom. How many know? Peter said, we hasten the day of the Lord when we look at the earth as burning up. He sure didn't start out that way. So these things are great warnings for us. They're not judgment on us. We don't go away condemned. We begin to trim our path. We begin to walk the steps that Christ wants us to walk, just in reviewing how we build. Build your relationship with God, knowing that you're hearing from Him and that you're hearing what you're supposed to be doing, because what God is calling you to do may not be exactly what He's calling me to do, yet we can be one. But man, these prophecies that come out, these things that talked about from, you know, some guy in Australia is telling you what to do and you're buying it because somebody that believed that he said, that she said, that they said, He's okay, so we're going to listen to. I stopped doing that a while back, man. I don't claim to be a super prophet or anything. But what I do is when somebody hands me a book to read or somebody tells me to listen to somebody, I always ask the Lord, is it okay? And if God says no, I don't go any further. I tried that one time. A couple years ago, somebody gave me a book to read. I got about halfway through the first chapter, and God said, don't read this book. I kept reading. I got to the end of the chapter, God said, I don't want you to read this book. Finally, I got the message. I wish I had never read the first chapter. Because by the end of the first chapter, I was convinced that the blood moons was the return of Christ. God said, I don't want you to read this because I'm not coming back because of four blood moons. Boy, did I take a beating because of that. Come on, somebody. You didn't listen to prophet so-and-so. A prophet is so-and-so. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in September. You better be ready. I said, well, I'm ready, but I don't think it's going to happen in September. Let's go for breakfast in October. Man, did I take some heat because of that. Lost people from this church because of that. Come on, somebody. It's how we build. We want to hear from God. How we live. Live sober in the daytime. Watching and listening for the things of the Lord. How we look at sin. Sin is sin. If it was sin then, it's sin now. It'll be sin tomorrow. God's not coming up with new sins. And He's not okaying old sins. How we look at sin. And then how we rewrite Scripture. God, give me the temerity and the strength and the boldness to believe Your Word never changes. No Scripture is for private interpretation. Am I the only one that's ever read Scripture and say, well, that's, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean that. At least not for me. He understands me. I'm different. That was for a different time. Man, we need to embolden ourselves to embrace Scripture for how He meant it to be and how we have pride. Oh, God, forgive me for being prideful, for thinking I got a corner on wisdom. God, I don't know anything unless You tell me. And would You be so kind to tell me again? And tell me again. And tell me again. It's okay. When the Holy Spirit stops communicating with me, I'm in trouble. Can I just say this? God will never say, okay, you've got it, go. Come back if you got a problem. Here's a cell phone, call me. Man, He goes with us. God, is it okay? What I'm doing, is it okay? Check on it. Check the Spirit. The Scripture says to check every spirit. I don't care how familiar you think you are with the Lord. It's okay to ask Him, is this okay? Is this you? And lastly, how we think. God, keep me humble. Don't let me be self-seeking. Do not let me boast and lie against what You have in Your Word is truth. My Bible said it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be counted in that number in these end times. And who would have known? Listen, who would have known 6 months ago where we're at right now? Who would have known? Who would have known our cities are burning to the ground right now? Who had ever been able to say that? Oh, maybe once here. It's multiple. 8 to 10, 12, 15 cities, major cities being run over. What manner of people should we be seeing that all this will burn up with fervent heat? And I'd like to be the guy. I would love to be the guy. It would sell, but I'd be rich. To say it's going to be okay and everything's going to be all right and God's going to turn it around and it's just not, we've got 100 years before Christ returns so we can live like we want to live. Just grab St. Arbuck's, grab some Starbucks and come in and we'll have church and pat ourselves on the back and go home. I'd like to say that, but it's not true. The world is needful of the body of Christ. It's needful for the wisdom that we got from God, isn't it? And instead of sloughing it off on somebody else, I want to be the one to have the answers. in my circle of influence. I want to be able to talk. I want to be able to show forth the Word of God and the power of God. The church is the healing station for the Lord. We get sick where we go, the hospital. When we get sick spiritually, we need to go to the church. The church needs to be visible. Once again, how we think about the church is very important. I'm not just part of an organization. I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm part of the glorious kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. If it can't be shaken, I can't be shaken. I'm part of it. Push all you want. I'm not going to be moved. Why? Because I built my house on a rock. The winds come, storm comes, I'm okay. Father, tonight, Lord, tonight, God, thank you for adjusting us. Thank you for the woes in your word. We sometimes look at it as so negative. It's not negative. God, you love us enough to say, stay away from that ditch. Stay away from that ditch. Stay in my will and in my kingdom. God, I thank you that you've given us free will to walk out whenever we want, stay in whenever we want. So God, we pray, Father, not only for those here tonight, but those we love that are part of New Life, those that we love, our families, God, we pray that we'd be able to hear your word and adjust our lives to that word, to your success, to your victory that you have planned for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that we are receiving a kingdom that's never been shaken. From the time you said, let there be light, until this moment, you've never been shaken. You've never been perplexed. You've never been out of sorts. You've never been those kind of things. God, you are always sure of what's going on. And God, we thank you that you've shared that surety with us. Lord, let us be men and women that are ready to be used whenever you say go or stay or pray or whatever command you have. Help us to hear you clearly and without hesitation. God, we give you the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now preach back to me. What's the Holy Ghost saying to you about all this?